Undoubtedly, the most popular icon of this special day is that of Cupid. In popular depiction, Cupid is that infantile character with a bow and arrow to strike at lovers. And that also betrays the very popular idea of love as that of being struck emotionally. Do you know that the Greek equivalent of Cupid is Eros, the god of love and sensuality? And Eros, as Cupid in Roman mythology, caused destruction in the wake of mismatches that he created. Marami siyang pinagtambal na hindi dapat. At ang mga istorya ng Roman mythology at gayon din ng Greek mythology ay puno ng mga kapahamakan na nangyari dala ng kalukuhan nitong si Cupido o si Eros. Well, it only illustrates something common of the ancient idea of gods and goddesses. Gods and goddesses in the ancient paganism were full of foibles, full of faults and flaws. Yung mga Diyos, mga dinidiyos na mga pagano ng mga panahong yun ng sinauna ay puno ng mga karakter na hindi dapat bugnutin kung minsan, matampuhin at marami pang mga bagay ang kanilang idinurugtong sa kanilang mga Diyos. Well, though there may be no such pagan belief among sophisticated people today, but the influences of these beliefs continue and we need to hold fast to what we believe about our God, that what we believe about our God is that He is perfect, there is no flaw in our God, and we are using this month a portion of the Bible intended to show the incomparability of this God. He is not like the pagan gods and goddesses. This God, Yahweh, is like no other. He is incomparable, and that message is in fact contained in the messenger himself. I explained to you last Sunday that Micah is short of the fuller name Micaiah, which means who is like the Lord. And that is something that Micah presses home to his generation, who is like the Lord. In fact, towards the end of his book, in Micah 7 verse 18, he asks that question explicitly, who is a God like you? Pardoning iniquity. Sino katulad mong Diyos? Kaya ito ang isang bagay na dapat nating pakadiinan, dapat nating panghawakan tungkol sa ating Diyos ay wala siyang katulad. At dahil wala siyang katulad, walang maaring maging karibal siya sa ating pananampalataya, sa ating katapatan, at sa ating paglilingkod. I explained also last week that Micah's prophetic ministry coincided with that of Isaiah. Both ministered in the southern kingdom of Judah. And Micah is one of those books that you can easily structure because you have a clue word. And the clue word is here. And you can divide Micah in three sections. Each of the sections begins with here. So you have 1 verse 2 as the first section, then 3 verse 1 as the second section, and 6 verse 1 as the start of the third section. And each begins with here. So this is a summons for the people of God to listen to the oracles and the prophecies of Micah. Now if you look at these sections, each is also similar in that each section contains threats of God's judgment. Bawat bahagi ay may laman ng banta ng paghahatol ng Diyos. Ngunit bawat bahagi din ay nagtatapos sa isang pangako, nagtatapos sa isang maganda at bagay na ipinapangako ng Diyos na maganda niyang gagawin sa kanyang bayan. So you have both elements in all these sections. On the one hand, as we saw last week, threats. Threatening. God is not like anyone else in that He threatens. But this same threatening God is also the promising God. And we saw that last week. Even as God threatens, He pledges the gathering of His people in the future as a shepherd gathers his sheep. And in this, there is the message of the incomparability of God. We come now at least to part of the second section. I invite you to turn your Bibles with me to Micah chapter 3. Again, I shall assume that you followed the announced challenge this morning to read the whole portion of chapter 3 to chapter 4. So we will not read the whole. I shall just read partly from chapter 3 and partly from chapter 4. We'll read from chapter 3, verse 8, down to chapter 4, verse 5. Micah 3, verse 8 to chapter 4, verse 5. But truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord and of justice and might to declare to Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin. Now hear this, you heads of the house of Jacob and rulers of the house of Israel, who abhor justice and pervert all equity, who built up Zion with bloodshed and Jerusalem with iniquity. Her heads judge for a bribe, her priests teach for pay, and her prophets divine for money. Yet they lean on the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us? No harm can come upon us. Therefore, because of you, Zion shall be plowed like a field, Jerusalem shall become heaps of ruins, and the mountain of the temple like the bare hills of the forest. Chapter 4, verse 1. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and peoples shall flow to it. Many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion the law shall go forth, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between many peoples, and rebuke strong nations afar off. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. But everyone shall sit under his vine and under his fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. Chapter 4, verse 5. For all people walk each in the name of his God, but we will walk in the name of the Lord, our God, forever and ever. Now here, the second section, where the first section, as we saw last week, addressed the two kingdoms, the whole nation divided into two kingdoms of Israel, of the 10 tribes, and Judah, of the southern tribe. Micah addressed them as a whole nation, as two kingdoms. Here, Micah, in this second section, gives special attention to their leaders, heads of the house of Jacob, he calls them, the rulers, the priests, the prophets. Now, while the whole nation, as we saw, is indicted, may bintang ang Diyos laban sa buong bansa at sa dalawang kaharian, masasabi natin na may matimbang na paninisi dito sa mga namumuno. The whole nation is indicted, but there is a sense in which the blame specially falls on leaders. And so they are indicted with much more gravity for their failures. Grave threats of destruction were pronounced against the leaders. And yet, these very pronouncements of destruction against leaders lead to one of the most glorious prophecies in the Old Testament about a coming deliverer. And I want to put my message in this way. No one is like the Lord in putting to account failed human leaders to bring to light his messianic deliverer. No one is like the Lord. That's the message of Micah. No one is like the Lord. So we follow that message. No one is like the Lord in putting to account failed human leaders to bring to light his messianic deliverer. Walang katulad ang Panginoon sa paniningil sa mga nabigong mga pinunong ng tao upang bigyang liwanag ang manunubos na Mesiyas. So as the people are directed to see the failures of their leaders, the very failure of those leaders becomes now the message to bring to light the need for a deliverer. Now you see, in the ancient world, human leaders had very little accountability. And the higher they ascended in their power, the less accountability they assumed. The concept of checks and balances, which we take for granted today, was simply non-existent in the ancient world. Walang concept ng kapag may abuso sa executive, ay maaari silang i-impeach ng legislative o yung Supreme Court ay maaring i-reverse yung mga desisyon. Walang ganun sa ancient world. No checks and balances. When the rulers wanted something to be done, it was done. And anyone who dared to oppose the leaders would do so on threat or on pain of death. Kaya ganyan ang mga leaders noon. But in the case of Israel, there was something different. In the case of Israel, there was the concept of giving account to Yahweh. Merong konsepto sa Israel na sisingilin ni Yahweh ang mga pinuno. Hindi sila pwedeng mamuno ng ayon lamang sa kanilang kagustuhan sapagkat sila ay mananagot sa Panginoon. Yahweh puts them to account. Now perhaps their subjects may not be able to touch them, but Yahweh will touch them. Yahweh will one day destroy them if they fail in their leadership. So Micah fearlessly exposed the failure of Israel's leaders. He tells them how they will be destroyed, but he does so, as I've said, in order to prepare for his most wonderful promise of a deliverer. A promise that will be quoted in the New Testament and will become a fundamental prophecy about the birth of Jesus Christ. But we'll leave that for next message on Sunday. For now, there are two things I want us to see. First is the failure of human leadership. The failure of human leadership, ang kabiguan ng lideratong pantao. And secondly, the future of divine lordship. The future of divine lordship ang hinaharap ng pagkapanginoon ng Diyos. The failure of human leadership. In the earlier verses of chapter 3, the injustice of the rulers is depicted in very graphic language. Napakatindi nung lengguaheng ginamit ni Micah upang ibunyag ang mga kamalian ng mga namumuno. No less than the language or the image of cannibalism. They were eating the flesh and bones of my people. Eh, ganito yung paninimbang ng salita ng Diyos kung ang kalupitan ay nangyayari sa mga nasa kapangyarihan. It's like cannibalism. It's like eating on people who are helpless to defend themselves. So it underscores the cruelty of the rulers. They use their power to destroy their own helpless people. But now Micah claims, as we read in Micah 3 verse 8, Micah claims the power of the Holy Spirit. In the face of this power, absolute power of the rulers, Micah says, "Truly I am full of power by the Spirit of Yahweh." Sometimes we sense the power of human government or human organization or human pomp and wealth. And we sometimes as a church feels not up to it. Well, this is what we need. Not to equal their wealth or to equal their power. That's why we do not seek a seat in Malacanang in order to match that power. What we need is the Spirit of God. Kailangan natin na yung Espiritu ng Diyos. Itong lagi nating pinapanalangin upang maharap natin ang kapangyarihan na hinaharap natin sa lipunan. So Micah, claiming that power, now exposes the wickedness of those he called the heads of Jacob. And he has a very special attention on religious leaders. And he combines two sins in particular that make the leadership ripe for judgment, ripe for destruction. What are those two sins? Materialistic greed and spiritual pride in leadership will cause destruction of its people. Yung pagkagahaman at yung kapalaluang pang-espiritual, kapag yan ay nagsama, magiging dahilan, magiging sanhi ng kapahamakan ng pinamumunuan. So we who exercise leadership are specially called upon. This is sin everywhere. Materialistic greed is sin everywhere. Spiritual pride is sin everywhere. But when it is in the ministry, when it is in the leadership, it is destruction. destructive. It destroys everything in its path. Listen to the way Micah describes these leaders in their greed. Her heads judge for a bribe. Her priests teach for pay. And her prophets divine for money. So among political rulers, Micah said, justice is sold to the highest bidder. Bribe is the impelling force in the political powers. How like today? Among political rulers, corruption prevails. And isn't it true today? I still feel the shame from reading a recent article in Newsweek that appeared on January 22, 2010, which called the Philippines Asia's laggard, ang kulelat ng Asia ay ang Pilipinas. And the article related how the Philippines was once in the 60s second to Japan in all of Asia. And now other countries are passing us by. Indonesia has passed us by. Of course, long ago, China has passed us by. And here we are looking at Vietnam passing us by. And Bangladesh, can you imagine? Bangladesh is passing us by. Why is that? Well, one explanation that it says, and I quote, "The interpretation of laws is a highly subjective exercise in the Philippines, and that the rules can often be changed midway through the game." Ayan daw nangyayari dito sa Pilipinas. Yung batas na papabago kung sino yung may pera o sino yung may kapangyarihan, sa halip na yung batas ang nangingibabaw sa lahat. Kaya meron dapat stability sa lipunan. It's because there's law. We are to be governed by laws, not by men. That's not the case in the Philippines. Well, most likely, Micah was describing the same thing going on in his generation. Justice was sold for a bribe, and greed in politics becomes corruption. And this is something that we need to think about during these elections. We pray for leadership that will tackle corruption in the Philippines. But if this is ugly in politics, let me tell you, there is nothing uglier than greed in religious leadership. And in Micah's time, we are told priests taught and prophets preached according to where the money was. Yung kanilang pagtuturo, yung kanilang pangangaral ay sinusundan kung nasaan yung pera. And let me tell you, he that serves God for money will serve the devil for more money. And you think I'm describing a theory? No, brethren. I'm right there in the midst of dealing with men who are in the ministry and men who aspire for the ministry. And I look at them and you can see in their eyes, kulang na lang lagyan ng mga barya sa kanilang paningin, sa kanilang mga pananalita at mga lumalabas na motibo. I see it every day. And it's ugly. And whenever religious leaders become concerned about their money, they would not care about God. And little has changed since Micah's day. We still grapple with the same problem in the ministry. And this is something we need to beware, that we don't think of ministry as a position for financial success. The word hire is not a bad word in the Bible. It's not a bad word in most cases, except in one. When Jesus spoke of the hireling, it is in contrast with the good shepherd in John chapter 10. So where hire is legitimate in all other advocacy and all other vocations, not in the ministry. When one enters into the pastoral ministry, he is to be a good shepherd. And Jesus said, a good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. It's not about money. Now combine greed with pride, and you have a deadly combination. What are we told of their pride? Well, Micah said, yet they lean on the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us? No harm can come upon us.
Ang sinasabi nila sa panig natin ng Panginoon, walang mangyayaring kapahamakan sa atin. Kaya nandun sila sa kanilang gahaman na diwa, ngunit kasabay noon ay buong-buo yung paniwala nila na meron silang seguridad kasi nasa kanila ang Panginoon.
They rejected Micah's warning of judgment as being negative, and they sound so concerned for the Lord. And you know, sometimes preachers who fail to warn can sound so God-centered. They talk so much about God's goodness and God's love and God's power. I told you last Sunday of the popular bestsellers in Christian literature today, Rick Warren's Purpose-Driven Life and Joel Osteen's Your Best Life Now. Very little, if any, about sin and about coming judgment. And yet they sound so pious and people like them. And beside these writers, our message will sound very negative to them. The preaching of one faithful to the word will often carry the appearance of something unwelcome, something ugly to them, while the message of such preachers will sound so good and so welcome. But we know that it was Micah who was faithfully representing Yahweh. It was Micah who was telling them how Yahweh felt about the ways of his people. Whereas the religious leaders simply assumed that God was on their side, therefore the nation was secure, and their message therefore was summarized by Micah in a one-word chant. They are chanting peace, shalom. Ayun ang buod ng kanilang mensahe. Kapayapaan. And it was not true. Israel, in fact, the northern kingdom, would fall shortly after the ministry of Micah. In fact, during the ministry of Micah. And when Israel, the northern kingdom, fell, it was lost. The 10 tribes were lost. They integrated themselves with foreigners, and by the time of the second, third generation, there was no identity of the 10 tribes. Judah, generations later, will also fall. The southern kingdom of 2 tribes. They will fall to Babylon. Well, in God's blessing, God will preserve a remnant. God will preserve a remnant among the tribes of Judah. But the point is that the leader's assumption that God was on their side was not the truth. It was just born of pride and false security. And there you have this combination. Combine material greed and spiritual pride. It is a deadly and destructive combination. It often appears in the idea that the blessing of wealth is the sure mark of God's approval. Kapag may idea na kapag ako'y pinagpapala sa aking sahod, sa aking negosyo, sa aking kita, kapag ako'y pinagpapala, tiyak na marka yan ng approval ng Panginoon. Kung meron tayong ganyang konsepto, mag-ingat po tayo. Sometimes the cattle is fed not from the owner's affection, but to prepare it for slaughter. And that, in fact, was what's happening to Israel and Judah. But where does it lead to? The challenge, brethren, is this: failures in human leadership invite us to trust in the Lord and not in men. This still is the call for today. There are times when trust in the Lord is pressed upon us by a challenge of not trusting in men. Nandun ang mga pagkakataon na talagang hindi pwedeng pagsabayin. Now, in a democratic society like ours, we always say we get the leaders we deserve. These coming elections will, I'm sure, prove that again. I hope in a positive way. Both Israel and Judah, to use Micah's depiction, were skinned alive by their failed leaders, and they were destroyed. Napahamak sila. As I said, Israel, the 10 tribes were totally lost. Judah will be reduced to a remnant. But let me tell you this. What happened to that remnant from the time of the exile is that never again will they merely trust in human leaders. That will become the supreme character of the remnant. Never again will they trust in mere human leaders. And you see this in some of the Psalms. Psalm 118:9, it is better to trust in the Lord than to trust in princes. Psalm 146:3, do not put your trust in princes nor in a son of man in whom there is no help. They learned their lesson. Natutunan nila yung kanilang leksyon. Kaya dun sa mga remnant, yung nalabi na mga Hudyo, mga Israelita, ito ang kanilang naging karakter. Hindi na sila muling magtitiwala sa mga tao lamang, sa mga pinunong tao lamang. Now, do not get me wrong, please. I believe in the place of human leadership, both in society and in the church. The Bible teaches the place and importance of human leadership in society. We saw that this morning. Na kinakasangkapan ng Panginoon ang mga namamahala. Hindi natin tinatanggihan yan. Nagpapasakop tayo sa mga namamahala. And I put this even more strongly when it comes to church leadership. Church leadership can use every support. Do not make it more difficult than it already is. But absolute trust is not in human leaders. Absolute trust must be in the Lord alone. Whether society or the church, do not put in the human leaders the trust that belongs only to the Lord. Kaya nga kapag nakakarinig ako ng mga talumpati ng mga politikong para silang mesiyas, ako'y naninindig ang aking balahibo sa takot. Sapagkat we know they won't deliver, I mean at least not all their promises. And yet, ayan sila at pag sila'y nanalo, mawawala ang kahirapan. These are messianic delusions. But what we say of politics, let's also put that in the church. It's good if God has equipped the church with faithful leadership, but we don't put our trust in human leaders. I read this of the stories of men I admire very much. C.H. Spurgeon, you know my admiration for that man. When Spurgeon died in 1892, his church went down in erosion of faith before it was revived many years later. But it showed that Spurgeon himself failed to build human leadership that would succeed him. There was no Joshua, as it were, to succeed Spurgeon. I admire Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones and his ministry in the Westminster Chapel. But again, when he died, Westminster Chapel today is a charismatic church. My point is, don't think what happens to GBC is guaranteed by one's ministry. We look to the Lord. We don't trust in human leaders. So the failure of human leadership is a fact of life. If you look to the human leader for your trust, you'll be disappointed. It's not in human leaders that we put our trust. Then we come to the second point. What do all this point to is the future of divine lordship. Micah points to a coming deliverance of the remnant of Judah through a coming deliverer. And the deliverer is the Lord himself. Now let us look at two things here. The first is the state of deliverance. And the second is the person of the deliverer. Well, the second, the person of the deliverer, we will have to defer to next week. But I want us to see how Micah describes the state of deliverance. And this, by the way, in Micah's description is yet future. It was future to him. Hinaharap pa lang, wala pa nung kanyang panahon. And chapter 4, 1 and following is very similar to Isaiah 2, 1 and following about the future glory of Zion, that it will be elevated above other nations so that nations will go to Zion in order to experience Yahweh. But I want to particularly point out what sets apart the delivered people of God in the description of Micah. It is in chapter 4, verse 5. All people walk each in the name of his God, but we will walk in the name of the Lord our God. So there's the fundamental difference. Yung pinakapayak na pagkakaiba ng mga tinubos na bayan ng Diyos sa iba pang mga hindi tinubos ay ang mga tinubos, ang Panginoon ng kanilang Diyos. At lahat ay mga idolo. They have their idols. And we need to recover this truth. The distinguishing mark of the people of God is not wealth, not fame, not power in politics. The distinguishing mark of the people of God is that they have the Lord as the impelling force of their lives. Now the challenge to us, brethren, I think is clear cut. If the difference is that they have idols, we have the Lord, the challenge is mortify every remaining idol that distracts our trust in the Lord. Tanggalin natin ang bawat nananatili pang idolo sa atin na humahadlang sa lubos nating pagtitiwala sa ating Panginoon. In the New Testament, conversion is described in 1 Thessalonians 1 as turning from idols to serve the living and true God. Ganun ang nangyari sa mananampalataya. Tinalikuran niya ang mga patay na mga Diyos-Diyosan upang magkaroon siya ng tunay at buhay na Diyos. At tinatanong ko sa iyo, nangyari na ba yan sa iyo? Maring pinapalagay mo lang, nagsisimba ako sa isang Baptist church na ipinapangaral ang Biblia, tiyak na mayroon akong buhay na Diyos. Ang tanong ay, ikaw ba'y tumalikod na sa mga patay na Diyos, sa mga hindi totoong Diyos upang ang iyong buhay ay ipasakop mo sa tunay na Diyos sa pamamagitan lamang ni Hesukristo? Kung hindi mo pa yan nararanasan, gawin mo ngayong araw na ito ay talikuran mo ang mga Diyos-Diyosan, lumapit ka sa buhay na Diyos. Yan ang tunay na kaligtasan. But the Christian is not one who has perfectly rid himself of all idols in his life. They continue to attach to us. They cleave to our hearts. They surface in our habits, language, and practices. And we need to see that our Lord clearly is the ruling power in our lives, the impelling force of our day-to-day. So challenge those idols, those things in our lives that turn to themselves our trust in the Lord. Kung paano nangyari sa bayan ng Israel at Judah na nagtiwala sila sa kanilang mga liderato at itong mga liderato na ito ang nagpahamak sa kanila. At mula noon, nung nagkaroon na lamang sila ng ilang na labi, hindi na sila muli nagtiwala sa mga lideratong pantao kundi nagtiwala sa Panginoon. Ganun ang hamon sa atin. What remains as idols in us? And we all have idols to deal with. We all have distractions from our trust in the Lord to deal with. I was talking to you of Elizabeth Elliot this morning in our Sunday school during the early months of her husband's death, a cruel death as I described it to you this morning. She struggled. She struggled with bitterness. She struggled with disappointment, even doubts. Why the Lord has permitted such a thing to happen to someone whose ambition in life is to preach the gospel to the Oka Indians. And yet, she had this insight, and I was reading it a few days ago in a meditation that she wrote. She said that pruning includes God taking away the superfluous as well as what we believe to be good stock. Yung inaakala nating mabuti sa tingin ng Diyos ay kasama sa dapat alisin upang lalo pa tayong palaguin ay kasama sa proseso na ginagawa niya upang mawala ang mga idolo sa ating buhay. At ngayong hapon na ito, yan ang hamon sa atin. This is supposed to be what sets apart the delivered people of God. What sets apart the people of God is that they have the Lord for their God. The rest have idols. And yet, you and I must confess that there remains in our hearts some attachments that become idols. Is it a job? Is it an ambition? Is it a position? Is it someone? Is it something that you cannot do without? And if that is becoming a distraction from your trust in the Lord, it will be like those leaders of Israel and Judah that became their destruction. Let us challenge these idols. To be blessed with good leadership is an eminent blessing. May God continue to equip us with good leaders. But brethren, it is not a substitute for the Lord. Let there be no idols in our church, in our lives, and wherever the Lord calls us. Let our trust be in the Lord and not in idols. Let us sing our hymn with that thought in mind. Oh, for a closer walk with God. The fifth verse says, the dearest idol I have known, whatever that idol be, help me to tear it from thy throne and worship only thee. Let's close in prayer. O dakila naming Diyos, katulad ng henerasyon ni Micah, ay narito kami sa lipunan na umaasa sa mga liderato na malimit ay nagiging lalong kapahamakan ng lipunan. Panalangin namin na matutunan namin ang leksyon dito kay Micah kung paanong sa kanyang pagkondina ng mga pamunuan sa Israel at Juda ay ipinapakita niyang ang tunay na pagtitiwala ay wala sa pantaong liderato kundi sa manunubos na sa kanyang panahon ay mangyayari pa lamang, ngunit nasa panig na kami ngayon na ito'y may katuparan kay Jesucristo. So help us to understand, to really learn the lesson that we cannot put the trust that belongs to the Lord upon human leaders. For they will have their imperfections, they will have their limitations, they will have their sins. And we pray, O Lord, that our trust will not be in princes, but in the Lord. And grant even that while understanding that you use human leadership both in society and in the church, and may we have the right attitude to such leadership in submission, in support, in prayer, yet absolute trust must be in the Lord alone and not in the human leadership. So we ask that this fact of failure and limitation of human leadership will lead us to understand the divine lordship in the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, we thank you that what was future to Micah has become present to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that the uniqueness of the delivered people of God is that they walk in the name of the Lord as our God, while the rest have their idols. And may the challenge be that we may mortify every remaining idol that distracts our trust in the Lord. It may be that we are becoming so enmeshed in the things of this world, and nothing, as we have sung, nothing in the world can ever fill what is left as an aching void by our failure to make the Lord the real impelling force of our lives. So if there is such idolatry that remains in us, and we know that idols need not be the grotesque icons of pagans, the idols that are more sophisticated may attach themselves to us in terms of ambition or work, income, covetousness. Grant, O Lord, that we may deal with them, and that we may truly make the Lord our God and our impelling force of day to day. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.